obviously invited, so call me back. Okay, I love you. Bye.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, CEO of Lover Girls USA. It's a lover girl lifestyle. I'm in my hard eyes era, okay? Not that I've ever exited my hard eyes era. I think I was born with hard eyes, being lovey-dovey and giddy about everything. I think I am permanently like this. And I actually am so grateful for that. I'm so glad that I'm learning the older that I get that I actually think it's impossible for me to be jaded. Hey, jaded. A great song. But the older that I get and the more bullshit that I've endured, specifically in dating and love, I'm just like, I actually think it's impossible to break my spirit. I think that I am just the CEO of Lover Girls USA and nobody can change that. She was born with the DNA for it, mama. She was born with hard eyes. That's so cute of me. I think I just feel so loved up and giddy about life right now. That's not to say that everything's going well, because it's not. But I think I just feel very secure in myself and content with me, that I feel very accepting and at peace with things going on around me. Maybe I'm just getting older. I don't know. I've been on a journey towards peace for a while, and I feel like I've turned some sort of corner in the last 6 months. And I was actually reflecting on this in therapy today, but it's been something that's come up in my journaling a few times. I talked to some of the Europe girlies about this in our journaling sessions, because this has been something I've been sitting with and it's definitely come up a few times for me, but I was talking to my therapist about it today on this beautiful rainy Tuesday, the best day to go to therapy because you've had one day to digest and sit in your thoughts from the weekend. But I was talking to my therapist about how much I feel that I've grown, particularly in how secure I feel in myself in general, but hyper focusing on my attachment style, because I always felt like I struggled with anxious attachment style. My old therapist was like, you do, but be easy, because I think you're closer to being secure than you think you are. And this was like 2 years ago when I first started seeing my old therapist. But I just have noticed how differently I feel and how differently I react to things in the last 6 months. And I've had so many moments where I've sat and looked at myself and been like, why are you not reacting like you normally would? Why do you feel so at peace and so different? Like, I've almost been like waiting for the shoe to drop and be like, okay, so when are you going to freak the fuck out? When are you going to get anxious? And I just haven't. And there's just been more than one situation in life recently where I've been impressed with how different I feel and how much more secure in myself I feel. And just like my feet are planted firmly on the ground, and I will always hope for the best. But if the best case scenario does not happen, or it's a winding road to get to the best case scenario, like I'm not worried for me. And I think I've gotten very good at calming myself down, maintaining my inner peace, like just, I don't know, thinking myself out of anything that normally would have sent me down a spiral. And it's been nice to realize that life is different. And it's nice to realize how distant I feel from the era of life where I felt like really anxious and I was really certain that I was struggling with an anxious attachment style, to now being like, she's in her secure attachment era. What's going on? And I think realizing how much more secure I've gotten has made me 10 times more lovey-dovey than I ever was before, if it was even fucking possible. I know. We had no idea it could get more loved up than this. But allegedly it can, and it does. because I just feel like the more secure I've gotten, the higher I've been promoted at Lover Girls USA. I'm the fucking CEO now, right? I just announced that. She's the CEO of Lover Girls USA. The more secure I've gotten, I just feel like very unattached to any outcome. Obviously, I hope for the best, but I'm not scared about the best case scenario not happening. I'm not anxious for it because I know it won't impact my self-perception or my idea of what my worthiness is. And that feels sick. It feels so sick to just be so content and secure with yourself. And I just feel really proud of a lot of the work that I've put in to get to this point. Because it did not used to be like this. Even in recent memory, it wasn't like this. You know, like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago? How long ago was this? When I started my year of no dating, the version of me that existed right before my year of no dating, like that is a stranger. And that, what was my year of no dating? 2021 was. And then 2022 was a full year of dating. Now I've had a year and a half of being back in dating, year of dating. So yeah, 2.5 years ago. Wild. Like that person is so different than who I am now. And I'm just happy. I'm just having a happy, loved up summer. And I want everyone to know how cool I think they are and how awesome I think they are and just how much I fucking love them. Okay. It is a lifetime of saying how you feel and not feeling any type of way about it. I don't need people to feel exactly what I feel, but I need to be honest about what I feel and true to myself and my heart. That is important to me. So anyways, I'm having a good time recently and just feeling very in alignment with myself and happy that I am in a more secure place. Like, cheers to that. Why don't we? I'm going to a ballet class on Thursday, which I'm so excited about. It's a good move. It's a like a partnership. It's an event that a brand is doing with Good Move. One of my friends works for the brand. And so she's planning this event with Good Move. And I was so excited. I bought myself a little ballet outfit. I was on Capizio, bitch. I was getting in there. And I'm so excited to go take this little ballet class and put on my little ballet outfit. Like, life is so fucking fun. It's so fun that I'm pumped for this ballet class. It's been a minute since I've been to Good Move and taken a dance class just because I haven't been here. And then the last, 2 weeks, I've been catching up on all of the work. I haven't even been here for 2 weeks. Week and a half, I've been catching up on all of the bullshit that I've had to do. And today is really the beginning of about like a week and a half period where I will feel relaxed and chill. And the things that I have on my to-do list is very manageable. So excited to get back into some dancing, get out there, put my cute little outfit on, and have a good time. Also, I think I'm going to see theater camp tomorrow with Art, and I'm so excited for this movie. You have no idea. I know everybody's on their like Barbie Oppenheimer shit right now, which I'm also excited for those movies and I will be going to see them. But I'm more excited to see theater camp because I am a summer camp movie fan, okay? You give me a movie set at a summer camp and I fucking love it. Anything set at a summer camp. Horror movies, comedies, anything. If it's in the woods at a summer camp, I'm all about it. It makes me feel something so specific. I can't even tell you what. Like, I love Wet Hot American Summer. I think Wet Hot American Summer is like top tier entertainment. I did a monologue from Wet Hot American Summer in like my acting classes in college. Like, I love Wet Hot American Summer. And I love 1983, the season of American Horror Story. Love it. What else? What else is at a summer camp? Camp Rock? A sleigh? A classic and a sleigh? But I just feel like I'm going to deeply relate to a movie about theater camp because I went to theater camp all growing up and I just have such fond memories of it and I would be so, yeah, I'm just so excited to go see this movie. Also, I've had Purple Summer fucking stuck in my head. And I think it's been in preparation of seeing this movie. My brain is like, get back on your theater shit. Start singing Spring Awakening right fucking now. Spring Awakening and Next Normal. Also, Light from Next Normal specifically has been stuck in my head. We need some light. Slay. We were eating it up. Oh my God. So I'm really excited to go see this movie. Also, I fucking love Jimmy Tatro. Sexy fucking voice. Good for him. Good for you, Jimmy Tatro. So excited to see you in this movie. My one answer when people are like, who's your celebrity crush? Because I really don't have a celebrity crush. The first person that always comes to my mind is Jimmy Tatro. I'm like, that dude is sexy. I'll be so honest. I don't know. I guess I haven't really had a celebrity crush since I was little. Like, I can tell you a lot of people that I find physically attractive, but I'm like, I don't really care about them. Like, I'm not going to look up and watch their stuff. Like, I think Seth Rogen's physically attractive, but I'm not going to go, like, watch all of Seth Rogen's interviews because I don't give a shit. But, like, I think he's cute. I think Jimmy Tatro's cute. Who else do I think is cute? Paul Rudd. I don't know. I think I it is more common for me to have crushes on internet people than like mainstream celebrities. So anyways, super excited to see Theater Camp and relive my theater fantasy, my theater nerd fantasy. I do miss it sometimes, being into theater and acting. It's fun. I still like will sometimes look up monologues and just read them in my bedroom and have a fun little time. I slay. I'm a good actor. I think I am. I mean, I was when I was little, but I just haven't done it in a long time. But I think I would slay now. Cast me in something. Who wants me to act for them? Who wants to put me in a little show? Okay, I'll be in your student film. Maybe. All of a sudden, these offers start rolling in, and I'm like, listen, I'll do one student film. And you have to just believe in me. Don't let me audition. Just give me the part. I think I could eat it up. I think I could slay. Anyways, we're getting too deep into fantasy land right now. Let's dive into some audience submissions, shall we? If you don't know, there is a submission box for this show where you can submit anything and everything that's on your heart. Whatever you would like to bring up at the sleepover, I will read it out. I pick a few submissions every episode and we dive in and we get really juicy with it. So let's pick out a few. I've recently started posting fashion, style, and body positive content on Instagram and TikTok. Fashion and blogging used to, like 8 years ago, be a huge part of my life. I've only recently started feeling great about myself again to the point where I'm re-engaging with it. But my sister, who I would call one of my best friends, is being so negative about it. Not only has she not supported me at all, but she has actively told me she doesn't see the point. She's even said things like, I just don't think you look good when you wear clothes like that. My sister is known for having her own social and emotional issues, so I know that I shouldn't put stock into what she's saying. But it's hard not to think about it and let it get to me. How would you handle this? So I think to start, I want to validate what you're saying here and let you know that it's not about you and that you absolutely shouldn't put stock into what she's saying, because people only react like this when it's bringing up something for them, whether it's like some type of jealousy issue, which I think is usually what it goes back to, or whatever it is. It's not about you though. Like, I think how I see a lot of like situations like this where you're posting, you're being creative, you're doing something that's cool, and people are mad about that for whatever reason, or they're telling you that it's not cool, that it's cringe, that some things don't look good on you, whatever, clothes, yada yada. It's because they are watching you do something that they are too afraid to do themselves. And I think for a lot of people, it's easier. It's a lot fucking easier to look at someone else and say, oh, what they're doing isn't actually that cool, or it's lame, it doesn't look good, whatever it is, rather than accepting that like this person is doing something brave that you do not have the courage to do. Or like people talk to themselves and be like, oh, I could do that way better. Like what she does is so boring and uncool and whatever, but I could do it better if I did it. But they'll never actually do it. And it's because like people don't want to admit that they don't have the bravery or courage to put themselves out there in the way that you are. So they're just a hater from the sidelines. And I think people are like that with creation in general. That's why you see a lot of people being fucking haters when people decide to make a YouTube channel or whatever else. Like people were mean as fuck to me growing up. about my videos. And like, now looking back on it, I just think that it's a matter of like, most people don't have the guts to love something as much as I have loved making videos, or as much as you love making fashion content, making body positive content. Like, it is really vulnerable to love something like that, and also to make content and put it on display for other people to consume. It's also vulnerable to like dress however you want to dress, to go against social norms for what people in your body type should wear. And if other people are jealous of that, are jealous of your bravery, of your courage, are just jealous that you are creating and they're not, like, people have all these different reasons for why they don't want to put themselves out there, why they're too afraid to make the jump, make the content, do whatever. And it's a lot easier to just say that everyone else isn't actually as cool to make yourself feel better for the fact that you don't have the courage to put yourself out there. So I think how you're handling it right now, in like the way that you're telling yourself that this isn't about you, and that she, you know, she has her own stuff going on, and this is probably just a reaction to that, that's coming from a place of her own insecurity or dissatisfaction with her own life or her own body or whatever it is, I think that's probably true. And I also think you're well within your right to set a boundary here and say, like, listen, I don't really care what your opinions are about this. This is what I love. This is my passion. This is my hobby. And I can't keep having these interactions with you. I can't keep having these back and forths where you are just mean to me for no reason. I don't know what it is that's going on with you or what you're sitting with. I'm so sorry that you feel so upset with your own life that you have to lash out at me like this, but there is no reason that I can't just have fun making my silly little videos or styling outfits that I am comfortable and confident in. If you don't think it looks good on me, keep it to yourself. That's not my fucking problem. Like, I'm not dressing to satisfy your perception of me. I'm dressing for myself. And I hope that you, as my sister, can respect that and support me. But if you can't, I just need you to shut up about it. I think sometimes that's what it comes down to be honest. I've definitely, the people that have been like nasty to me about my body in my life, it's a long process to getting people to understand why their views on body image are fucked up, because I think a lot of people are just so deeply struggling with their own shit that they can't even begin to understand how those views impact other people, or like that those views are toxic in the first place. And so a lot of the times it wasn't going to be an overnight fix to like get people to, you know, shift the entire way that they see bodies and how we dress and like what different bodies are able to wear and whatever. So it's easier just to tell people, like, so long as you believe what you believe right now, you cannot talk to me about this. For the sake of our relationship, for the sake of our sisterhood, I need you to just drop it and do not talk to me about it. And I had to set that boundary with several people in my family when I was younger and struggling with my body image, where I was like, I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. I cannot do it if you are constantly bringing up my body and constantly criticizing my body. I need you to just shut up about my body from now until forever, and we will have a fine relationship. And I think over time, those people, their viewpoints did evolve, and we were able to at some point have more productive conversations about body image and their viewpoints and how to shift it. But also, like, as a plus size person, you're not required to like teach everyone everything. Also, I'm assuming you're plus size because you wrote body positive, but you very well could not be plus size. So anyways, in conclusion, I think that you're well within your right to set a boundary here. I wouldn't take it personally, and understand that it's probably going to be a long process to get to a place where your sibling totally is on the same page. And until you get to that point, it's probably better just to set the boundary of like, you're not going to talk to me about this subject in particular. Depends on the situation though, so you'll be able to read the relationship and what's best better than I can, obviously, but just know that you're not in the wrong here at all. So recently I broke my year and a half streak of no sex with my manager at work. I had always thought he was cute, and he's around the same age as me, but we never really worked the same shifts. I worked mornings and he worked closings, so the times we would see each other was when I was leaving and he would just be getting to work. However, over the past few months, I would work part of some closing shifts and we started to talk more. It was only recently that I got a feeling he liked me. I thought it would be fun to hit him up before I left after putting in my 2 weeks. A few days before leaving, I messaged him to see if he wanted to hang out, but I got cold feet until he messaged me 2 days later to see if I still wanted to hang out. I had a really great time, and I spent a couple of nights with him before I left. He admitted to me that he had a crush on me for a few months, and I felt like we hit it off. However, I keep thinking that I may have slept with him too soon. I often hear from relationship gurus online and family that if you sleep with a guy too soon, they aren't interested in you beyond sex. Boo! Do you think that having sex early on means that deeper connections can't happen later? Do you think that men take women less seriously if they have sex too quickly? P.S. I love you. I've been watching you for a couple of years. You are who inspired me to take a break from dating and get clear about my wants and boundaries for relationships. So thank you. Well, that's great. Thank you for being here and thank you for submitting. This is my beef with a lot of like dating and relationship gurus online is that they give the most fucking ass backward advice. And this is a prime example of like a piece of advice that relationship gurus give all the time online that I think is just bollocks vibes. Because here's the thing, and a piece of advice like this where it's like, don't have sex too early on, it's like an arbitrary timeline as well. They're not telling you exactly when, they're just like, don't have sex too early on because he's not going to respect you. It's like you're giving advice that's still catering to these like archaic ideas of sex and promiscuity and how women are supposed to interact with sex, and you're giving people dating advice encouraging them to like play 3D chess and like figure out when this person wants this and cater to their every want and desire so that you can make them like you. That's not how things actually fucking work in the real world. And the reality is with the right person, it's not going to matter when you have sex, right? Because you have a connection, you're right for each other, things are going to develop, whatever. Are there some people out there that do view women and sex like that? Are there some men out there that you could have sex with them early on in the relationship and they will lose respect for you and not want to pursue you on a deeper level? Sure, assholes exist everywhere. Those are not the people you want to date though, correct? Like from how I see it, it's like it's very similar to the you can't say the wrong thing to the right person vibe. It's also like you can't have sex with them too soon if they are the right person. You know, like there's no specific timeline for these things. There's no right or wrong time. If you feel comfortable being intimate with someone, you can do it on the first date. You can do it on the second date. You can do it on the third. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like you can have sex with someone whenever you want. Hookups turn into relationships all the time. People have sex on the first date and end up married to each other all the time. It's like this happens literally all the time. If you're with someone that you are compatible with, if it's the right person for you, it's really not going to matter when you do have sex. So I don't think it's like I just think it's a non-issue completely. I think whenever you feel comfortable with it, then do it. I've had sex on the first date. I've had sex on the second date. I've had sex on the third date. I've waited a month to have sex with someone and it hasn't impacted the trajectory of our connection ever. You know, sometimes things are just a hookup, but other times they're not. And it doesn't feel like the two things are correlated at all. So I wouldn't think about it like that. I would just assess whether or not you are comfortable. Are you comfortable having sex with this person right now? Do you need more time to develop trust and closeness before you feel comfortable? If you feel comfortable right now, then sick. Go for it. Be safe. Do what you got to do. I just think it's a non-issue and I wouldn't worry about it. This is like one of my favorite topics to beef with relationship gurus about because I think the advice that's given in this department is just so rooted in like fear of what could happen and it's not based in reality. As long as you feel comfortable and you are being safe, then you can have sex at whatever time you want. Okay? With peace and love. All right, last submission, and then I'm going to hop into Love Island Week 6 recap, baby. Hello, Maddie. First of all, I really love your podcast and your videos on your main channel. Thank you. They've really helped me not to feel ashamed of loving too much and to be more in tune with my feelings. Or what is it? The one hand heart. That I like get it, but I really I'm still working on being able to visualize that one. I like doing this instead. And just, you guys complete the second half of the heart. I would really like some help because the rest of the internet feels really misogynistic to me when it comes to dating advice, and I hope you can share some of your wisdom on this one. I'm currently seeing this guy. 3 dates in, the 4th one is already planned, but it might be postponed because he is quite sick this week. But even though he's not feeling well, we still keep in touch every day through text, telling about our days and telling each other how cute and kind we find the other person. He's a really great guy and way different from all the other guys I've dated because 90% of them in the end just saw me as a hookup or a fuck buddy. And here's the thing. I did like my hoe phase after my first 3.5-year relationship ended. But now, after 1.5 years of just sleeping around, I've experienced that it makes me feel a little empty and kind of sad and not at all empowering. I have come to the conclusion that I don't have another hookup in me. I even became 4 months celibate before meeting this new guy. So you can say I'm currently only dating in the hopes of getting into a long-term relationship. The thing with this is, I don't know how to communicate it, especially this early on. Main reason being that I don't want to sound too desperate. I know that might sound stupid, but almost the whole internet when it comes to the first stages of dating someone new screams to take things slow. But I would just like some clearance, and it's not that he isn't eager to see me. We already made a list of possible date ideas. The only question I want to ask at this point is if we are exclusively dating each other, because I want to protect myself from being a little side quest again. But I don't know if something like that might be a deal breaker to ask so early on, 3 dates in. Mind you, we've already slept together. What would be the best course of action leading up to this question? A lot of articles on the internet say at least 10 dates or 3 months in before asking about exclusivity. But because in the past I've been treated like girlfriend material only to figure out this was just some manipulation tactic to get me to sleep with them, I don't think I can wait that long. I really would just like to know how you would handle that situation. Okay, I've got so many thoughts on this one, so I'm going to go like piece by piece. I'm going to go back to things you say in the middle. So you could say, I'm currently only dating in the hopes of getting into a long-term relationship. The thing with this is I don't know how to communicate it, especially this early on. Main reason being that I don't want to sound too desperate. I don't think that it is desperate to communicate what it is that you are looking for. Just because you have like a set intention with dating doesn't mean that you want that with every person that you go on dates with, right? So like when I was on dating apps, my dating profile would say point blank on it that I'm looking for a long-term relationship. That's my intention with dating. That's my intended outcome, right? So I'm dating with the intention of meeting someone that I would like to pursue a long-term relationship with. That is what I am looking for. That does not mean that the first person I go on a date with, you're the one. It means that that's my intended outcome. I'm not looking for things that are not that. So if you are totally closed off to the idea of meeting someone and developing a long-term relationship with them, then I'm not your girl. And I think it's better to be upfront with what your dating intention is. That does not mean that you are just going to jump into a relationship with the first person that you meet. It just means this is what I'm looking for at this point in time in my life. It's not desperate, to be clear. I find it very strange when people make that like false equivalency of like, you're looking for a relationship, so therefore you're desperate or are going to jump at the first thing. Like, who said that? Who fucking said that? I just know what I want. So I wouldn't worry about that. I think that there is a way to communicate what it is your intended outcome of dating is without saying you're the one that I want to do that with at any stage, right? You can go into a first date on your dating profile, have listed that you're looking for a long-term relationship, and it's clarity. It's being upfront. It's nothing more than that. I know that might sound stupid, but almost the whole internet when it comes to the first stages of dating someone new screams to take things slow. And you should. You can be clear and also take things slow. I think the process of getting to know someone and assessing if they are a good fit for you is a process, right? And it's going to take different amounts of time for different people. You can know that your intended outcome of dating is a long-term relationship and also take things slow. I don't think these two contradict each other in any way. The only question I want to ask at this point is if we're exclusively dating each other, because I want to protect myself from being a little side quest again. But I don't know if something like that might be a deal breaker to ask so early on. I think I would ask yourself, like truly deeply, ask yourself, do you know this person well enough to know for sure that you want to pursue a relationship with them? Or are you right now acting out of fear of being hurt? I'm not asking to sway you in either direction, because if you believe that you know this person well enough after three dates to decide if you want to be with them, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong if you feel how you feel. But I would encourage you to just take a step back and assess if this is a situation of like, you've been on three dates, you like what you see so far, and now there's a little bit of fear and anxiety creeping up inside you, and you're like, okay, and you just want the reassurance and like the confirmation of like, we're together, to avoid feeling that uncomfortable feeling of being in the middle of liking someone and not knowing where things are gonna go. It's inherently an uncomfortable and at times anxiety inducing part of the dating process, is like this in-between period where things are going well, but you don't know if you're actually going to end up together. I get it, but you don't want to rush yourself through that process just out of fear of being hurt, out of self-protectedness. And listen, I totally empathize with like this fear of getting sucked into another hookup situation, because I've totally been there before. And I think part of that is just communicating that you are not looking for a hookup. You can communicate that you are looking for a relationship without saying, and it's you right now, give me confirmation that we're together. Because at the end of the day, this person is still a very new addition to your life and is still very much a stranger in a lot of ways. Now, everyone's going to feel comfortable on their own timelines, but I would just be curious to know if your reaction right now is more rooted in fear of being hurt than it is like knowing that this person is right for you after three dates. And then you say that a lot of articles on the internet say at least 10 dates or 3 months in before asking about exclusivity. Don't read articles on the internet to get answers about when is the right time to ask this question. There's no set timeline for how long you need to be dating someone to, you know, ask the question of like, oh, can we close things off a little bit? Can we just remain exclusive to each other? It can happen at any point in time. I would just encourage you to reflect before jumping into that conversation and make sure that like this really is someone that you feel confident that you want to be with at this point, versus you just want to lock something down because you don't want to be in the same situation you were in the past. I just say all this because I can like hear the fear of being hurt again in how you've written this. And I deeply relate and empathize. I have been there. I have felt this way before. And I, in my experience, it's been more helpful to focus on zeroing in on what I want and how to communicate that up front and throughout the dating process, rather than just like fast forwarding to something farther down the line, because it's more like security. A lot of the dating process is a question mark. It is in the middle. And sometimes it will bring up like these very anxious thoughts of like, is he telling me the truth? Am I going to be just another hookup to him? Am I, you know, is he treating me like girlfriend material only to turn around and be like, oh, I'm not ready for a relationship? I get it, but also you don't want to rush into something because you perceive that to be the like safer emotional option, when I think in reality, long term, your relationship will fare better if you let it grow naturally and you communicate throughout that process, rather than being like, okay, we're shut off, we're closed off now. If I were you and I needed a little bit more reassurance that like we were on the same page and moving in the right direction, I would just have an open conversation of like, so what is your ideal outcome of dating? What are you looking for? I am personally looking for a long-term relationship, building up to that, growing into that. And I like how things are going and just want to make sure we're on the same page. I think that's a completely appropriate conversation to have without being like, I need a label right now, I need exclusivity right now, when it's been three dates. You know, I think you can share that you're enjoying how things are going and this is what my intended outcome of dating is, without being like, you're the one after knowing them for three dates. Something to think about. all right, babes, it's time to go back into the villa and see what the Islanders are up to. And honestly, what the fuck the producers are up to, because they've been absolute menaces this season, babes. Absolute menaces, and I love them for it. Holy shit, week six of Love Island, baby. Dun, 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 dun. Movie night. Movie fucking night. Honestly, this is the beginning of the week last week, so I'm a little bit hazy on what happened in movie night in its entirety, other than like the big things. So let's see if I remember what I wrote in my notes. The Mitch video comes first, where it's just Mitch being a pot stirrer and also being like totally inconsistent in what he says to the boys versus how he acts with the girls. It was clips of him and the Zachariah stuff when he was pursuing Molly, and then what he said to Katie. Just classic messy Mitch behavior. And everyone's laughing because they already know that Mitch is a pot stirrer, but you can tell it's going to be a conversation later, babes. Okay, then they show Ella's. And Ella's movie night shows her kissing Uzi in bed, which she said she didn't do right before the movie night happened. And she was talking to Tyreek and she's like, nothing happened. I never kissed him outside of a challenge. And everyone was like, what are you talking about with that one, babes? Because I'm pretty sure you did. And then the video, it like, she's holding the covers over so you can't like see their faces, but the covers are over and you hear kissing noises. And as this is showing, Ella's like starts screaming and claiming that it was just on the cheek, which is like, why are the covers pulled up then? You expect me to believe that you pulled the covers up over your head for a kiss on the fucking cheek? Let's be so for serious and for real right now. It's not just like a polite little peck, okay? He might have been like sucking on your neck. You can convince me that maybe you guys didn't like make out, but I don't believe it was like a quick little just peck on the cheek good night. I do not think that that's what happened. Why would you pull the covers up? If that was the case, why would you pull the covers up? Okay, oy vey. Then we get to Scott and Catherine. Then we've got the Scott and Catherine stuff, which I'm so exhausted with these two. It's like either they are cutting out important information or this is a whole lot of projection from Catherine's side, because in Scott's clip, he didn't cheat. He didn't do anything in Casa Amor. So the only thing they have for Scott's clip is a weird joke he made to the boys about being excited for other girls to show up. And then Catherine's clips are full of her flirting and making out with Ellen in Casa Amor. But then somehow Scott's the bad guy. And I'm like, so what's going on here? Do we have to paint Scott out to be this mega villain who never actually liked you in order to justify the fact that you did him dirty in Casa? Or what's going on here? And I'll say more about that later, because the British public, they were going really hard. And they might have gone too hard. British public, we were in alignment here, but you guys took it a little bit too far. So we'll talk more about that later. And then it's like the girls and the guys are getting involved and Leah is yelling at Scott. And then Scott starts yelling back at Leah and says, you haven't spoke for 4 weeks and now you're the spokesperson for the girls, which was wild. He shouldn't have said that. That was rude as fuck. But it was funny, so I'll allow it. Then we've got Montel and Leah. Montel's clips show him kissing Tink and saying that they have a better connection than him and Leah. And then Leah's clip shows her being loyal and a sweetie and saying that she misses Montel. And then my favorite part of this whole interaction was Ty booing and throwing popcorn at Montel. I was like, God, Ty really is our Ekin Sue. That's my Ekin, my bestie. Suddenly I love Ty. Oh, how did this happen? Then Ty's clip shows him pulling a Jake from season 7, being flirty and then encouraging all the boys to cheat. And the girls are like, why are you all following him? Why are you all just like obeying what Ty says? Then Sammy's clips show him cheating with multiple women and the clip of him telling Mal that he has a better connection with her after just a few days than Jess in 2 weeks. And Jess starts crying. She was giving us the Kim Kardashian cry meme. Like, her face does not move, and she was crying, and it was very sad, but also it was funny. It was funny, okay? And I'm not going to lie and say it wasn't funny. It was funny. Then Scott and Leah have a conversation after movie night, and they're fighting back and forth. And he's like, did you forget what you said to me? Like, he was so upset because Leah said that he got no bitches. Which is, like, really funny. Like, in the Scott and Catherine debacle, I don't think Scott has done anything. I think it's, like, a bunch of drama for no fucking reason. But it's so funny to me that he was, like, so bothered that they were basically, like, no bitches, eh. Because it's, like, who gives a shit? And then Leah was, like, I literally never said that. Which she kind of did. She didn't use those words, but, like, she low-key. I mean, they all were low-key being, like, Scott gets no bitches, eh. And that's why he's single post-casa. Which is funny. I'm here for the entertainment value above all else, right? Never forget that at the end of the season, I will not be voting for the most compatible couple. I will be voting for the person who entertained me the most this season. So it's looking very good for Ty right now. I also can't fucking vote, right? Because I'm in the US. So I'm actually saying this now. I'm putting feelers out there. If you live in the UK and you would like to submit votes on my behalf, you let me know. Like, if you're someone that listens to this section of the podcast and you live in the UK and you don't watch Love Island, so you have no stake in the game, and you would like to give me your votes and vote for me on my behalf, I would love that. I want to be included. The UK won't let me vote because I can't download the fucking app. Sammy and Jess talk, and he's immediately combative to any of her frustrations. And he's like, why haven't I shut the door on you then? Like, obviously I like you. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't be with you. If I would have rather been with Mal, I would have left with her. And then he yells at her for interrupting, even though he literally won't let her speak. And he's just such a fucking loser and an asshole and toxic and a baby. Sammy is a baby, okay? Jess, you do not need someone who treats you like this. Also, it's like, it's gone around in circles for so long at this point that I'm like, what do you really see something with this man that you've had such an incredibly unromantic story with? Like, you've been dealing with this for 6 weeks at this point. Do you think it's going to get better? Hasn't he ruined the story now? It's just like it's been so soured and it's so toxic. There's just no recovery. You guys are just going to keep going in circles. Like, at one point do we accept that you guys are not a match? At what point do we just say, you know what? We gave it a shot, but this guy fucking sucks. At what point do we give it a rest? And then Jess is like, I've been so good to you. And Sammy's like, me too. Sammy, be serious challenge. Sammy, tell yourself the truth challenge, because we know that's not fucking true. The boys confront Messy Mitch, and the conversation is, like, very strange and not very productive, but they, like, sort of move past it. I don't know. The men on Love Island and their conflict resolution skills are really quite fascinating to me. Then Montel apologizes to Leah in front of everyone, like, on the terrace. And I'm not sure why this works, but it does. So this is something I've learned from Love Island, that a public apology sometimes fixes everything. I don't personally get it, but in the Love Island universe, it always works. Just go on a balcony and scream about some things and they'll forgive you. Then Abby, who's paired up with Mitch, pulls Scott for a chat, and he sort of uses it as an opportunity to move towards her. And then Abby says that Scott's her type, but she would need to speak to Mitch before she, like, knew for sure that she wanted to get to know him. Then Abby and Mitch talk, and Mitch says, if you want to get to know Scott, that's fine, but I'm confident that what you have with me is better. Which is, like, a very chilled out reaction, considering that on day 4, he and Molly got into a huge fight when he was like, I'm closed off. And Molly was like, I'm fucking not. Like, what happened to that Mitch? Mitch, who wanted to be closed off after literally 4 days of knowing someone. And now when Abby, who is, like, the first girl that's came in that actually wants him, they were, like, together for the last 4 days. Suddenly when she wants to explore, he's like, go for it. And it's like, did he have this major character growth in the last 4 weeks, or does he just not like her that much? We will find out. Then there's a recoupling that happens. All of the couples stay the same. except Ty and Ella get back together. Uzi goes with Katie. Sammy gets back with Jess, and Amber ends up with Scott. Then we have Katie and Molly laying on the daybeds together, and Katie asks Molly if she would like to be closed off with Zachariah, and Molly's like, oh, we are. We just haven't really announced it or talked about it publicly yet. And then Katie immediately goes and tells all of the girls that this is what Molly told her and that they've been closed off this whole time. Interesting moves on Katie's behalf. I watched that and I was like, do you think a producer told her to go do that? Like, they were like, go tell all the girls right now. Because I was like, why did she do that? Why did she just bring all that up randomly? And then that night, Katie does a cheers when they get their one cocktail of the night. And she does a cheers and breaks the news that Zach and Molly are closed off. And is like, cheers to Zach and Molly being closed off. And it like immediately kills the vibe. Everyone's like, oh, why would you say that? And it's so funny how serious this is to all of them. I'm like, it is weird that she did that because Molly in their conversation did make it seem like it was a private thing that also they wanted to keep private, which is why they hadn't said anything to anyone. But also it's like, who fucking cares? Like, is it really that big of a deal? And then Molly and Zach were talking and Molly was like, I really don't think she meant anything bad by that. And Zach was like, she didn't mean anything good though, which I think is fair. I don't know. I think I don't think that Katie meant anything bad by that. I think it was a bad choice. I don't think she should have shared that information. It wasn't hers to share, but I don't think it was like an intentionally malicious thing. I think she just had a blonde moment. I think she was just being a little dumb about it. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's that deep. I think she's just that daft. Then Mitch is starting to get irritated that Abby is talking to Scott too and doesn't seem to be making a choice. Whitney and Locke can go on a date and they play a piano cover of Don't Worry, Be Happy in the background, which was sending me to the fucking moon and back. Because did any of you guys ever have one of those like fucking talking fish heads in your house? My family didn't personally have one, but our neighbors up in Maine did. And you would go over and it'd be like a fish on the wall and you'd press a button and it would start singing Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Don't worry, be happy.
And so I was like listening to that and all I could think about was this fucking plastic fish nailed to the wall. And I was like, a piano cover of Don't Worry, Be Happy. I don't know that that's giving romance for me. I think it's giving plastic fish nailed to the wall. Then the public have been voting for their least favorite couple. And this is my favorite thing that they've introduced this season is like the like surprise dumpings with absolutely no fucking warning. They send in immediately. They're not even gathered around the fire pit that Catherine and Ellum have the fewest votes and were immediately dumped from the villa. People are shocked. I was not, okay? Because I knew that people were mad at Catherine. Everybody online has been up in arms at how Catherine's been behaving. They booed her on Aftersun a few weeks ago. Like, we knew, right? The public is not on Catherine's side in the Scott-Catherine debacle. So I saw it coming. So then they pack up, leave. A second text comes in right as they are leaving, telling everyone else to come around the fire pit because they are not the only couple to be dumped from the island tonight. The other three couples in the bottom are Leah and Montel, Katie and Uzi, and Jess and Sammy, which this was crazy because right now Scott's in a friend couple with Amber. And I was shocked that he wasn't at least in the bottom four. I'm like, listen, Scott v. Catherine drama, I'm team Scott, but I'm not like riding for Scott to win this show. The man's boring. Okay. So what do you mean he's not in the bottom four? In a friend couple, he evaded the bottom four. Then look on Reddit. Not only did he evade the bottom four, but he was the top voted couple of the week. The top voted couple. Like, you guys have taken it too far. This is my beef with Brits, okay? You guys take it too fucking far sometimes. Let me in there. Give me a voice. Give me a vote, okay?
the British people won't let me vote in Love Island, and it is discrimination, okay? I'm an American that watches Love Island UK, and I would like a voice. I would like a voice. Put me in the villa, ITV. I've got questions. I've got feedback. I've got so many things to say, okay? Hook me up. Get me a vote. Get me specifically a vote, okay? I'm not fighting for everybody else's rights to vote. I'm fighting for my right to vote in Love Island UK, okay? This is very fucking serious to me. So then we learn that Leah and Montel are the second couple to get dumped from the island, which I was honestly not that surprised by either. I thought that it was either going to be Leah and Montel or Sammy and Jess, just because I think that, like, Katie and Uzi probably have less fans, but they don't have haters, right? Because they really haven't done anything, either of them. Montel definitely has some haters for how he's treated Leah, and Sammy has so many haters, it's literally astronomical. So that's how my brain was working it out. So I wasn't that shocked that Leah and Montel went either. But I love the way they did that. I love a surprise dumping. They've been killing it with the surprise dumpings this season. And then Katie immediately is like, how is this happening? Not to be rude, but you two aren't even a couple, to Scott and Amber. And people are like, it's not the time, Katie. And I was like, let her speak. Let her talk her shit. Okay? I love it. I love when people say things they shouldn't say. Later on in the night, Jess is making jokes about how Sammy's at the bottom of the public vote every single time. And she's like, maybe I just need to recouple. Maybe you're dragging me down. And it's like, don't joke about this, Jess, because that is the truth. You are so close to realizing the truth. You right now, you're joking around. You think that's a joke. It's not a joke. It is serious. It is so fucking serious. Then we've got two new islanders entering the villa, Josh and Ella B. Josh takes Jess out on a date, and Ella takes Mitch. Ella allegedly knows Ty from pre-Love Island. They've chatted, they've kissed. There's recent history there. The producers are moving mad this summer, vibes. Ty, in the beginning, isn't honest and upfront with Ella that they've kissed. He just says that he knows her because they live in the same area and have hung around each other at the club. And it's like, eventually, Ella B is going to tell the girls that she has kissed Ty and that there's like some lingering interest there. So I don't know why Ty wouldn't just off rip be like, yeah, we have a little bit of history. And then Abby starts getting pissed that Mitch is going to get to know the new Ella, which is so hypocritical because she's been doing the same thing as she's getting to know Scott. And it's like, if you feel a way about that and you want to just be with Mitch, then you should say that. And you shouldn't have been exploring things with Scott. But then she's saying to Mitch, if you feel a way about me, make it known. Why are you going off and talking to another girl if you're so certain of me? And it's like, girl, why are you? You can answer that question too. He's doing the same shit that you are. So whatever your answer is, it's probably his answer too. New Ella is gunning for Ty in the beginning here. Like, I fancy you. I know you fancy me too. And he's like, it's a shame our last kiss really was our last kiss, which you can take either way. I think it is like flirty undertones, but when he first said it, I received that as like a rejection, less than a coming on. Based on the way that he said it, I felt like that was him letting her down gently, in my opinion. Maybe I am just, he's my Ek and Sue. That's all I can say now. Then immediately after Ty and Ella B have that conversation, Ty does go tell OG Ella what was said, which I think is good of him. He's making strides, okay? He's a changed man. He's entering his lover boy era. And I do feel bad for Ella B in general, though, because she's like so beautiful and really like perfect bombshell behavior. She's going right after what she wants, but they brought her in too late. Whoever they bring in post Casa just gets the shaft. You have to be brought in before Casa Amor. Casa Amor is like the latest time you can be brought in and not get the shaft. And then both Ellas start fighting in the bedroom, and OG Ella was like, why is your name in my mouth? Come in on your own energy. There's not going to be a battle, because Ella B made a joke to Ty about there being the battle of the Ellas. And then Ella B is like, it was a joke. It was just banter. Chill out. It's not that fucking serious. But Ella OG was like, she was giving her like
main character monologue in that moment. She's like, I would never fight with a woman, babes, over a man. I was like, slay. And then LLB was like, it's not that fucking serious. And I was also like, slay. I loved it. I loved that little dramatic moment that happened. Then LLB and Josh get to steal someone to couple up with. LLB ends up picking Mitch and Josh picks Jess, which means both Abby and Sammy are single. Sammy gets upset with Jess that she doesn't come up to him right away after the recoupling. And Jess is like, well, I hated that you ran off and were being like so rude to Josh, who like he's forced to pick someone. And now he feels so bad because you guys are so pissed at him. Like, it doesn't matter. He wasn't trying to be malicious. He's literally been in for a day. So, listen, I appreciate that. I get why Sammy would be mad Jess didn't come up to him right away, but I also understand why Jess is like, well, you guys are being rude to him, and I didn't want him to feel bad. And then Sammy, and Jess starts laying down the law and saying, like, I'm not your girlfriend, when Sammy tries to, like, lay claim to her and be, like, you know, mad at Josh. And then Jess is basically like, you want girlfriend behavior without girlfriend commitment. Slay. It was a big slay on Jess's behalf. I felt like I was finally seeing her be like, I'm not your girlfriend. You didn't ask me that. Stop acting like you own me. You fucking do not. And I was like, Jess is having her moment. I think we need to get rid of Sammy. I think he's dead weight. And then night one, Mitch is cuddling with LLB because fucking of course he is. This man is a champion Love Island award winner for jumping ship and just love bombing whoever his new target is. And then the next day, I forget who tells Abby that Ella and Mitch were cuddling. And then Abby asks Mitch about it. And Mitch is like, I just woke up and we were like that. And then the other Abby is like, or Ella was like, yeah, no, that's not what happened. He like actually asked me if he could put his arm around me or if I was awake and if we could cuddle. So it definitely wasn't an in your sleep thing. And then Mitch is like, that literally never happened. I just woke up and my arm was like that and we were spooning, which is messy Mitch behavior. It is iconic messy Mitch behavior. But I just think Mitch is so inconsistent, which is why I'm not even sold that he liked Abby in the first place. I just think that she was like the first girl that came in all about Mitch, and now that Mitch has another girl coming in that's interested in him, he's like, I like her better. I just think that, like, literally we saw him on day four ready to, like, fight because Molly didn't want to be closed off. And then the whole Abby thing, there's just been, like, a lot of push and pull in a way that I'm like, should there be this much push and pull? Also, Abby is being, like, very hypocritical in a way that I understand why it would turn Mitch off, because she is being very hypocritical. But also, if he really liked Abby, I feel like he would like a little bit of, like, the jealousy vibe, just a light jealousy, not intense jealousy, but I think, you know, there's levels to it. I just don't think he's that into Abby, is my personal assessment. And that's the end of week six. So we'll see how it goes. I'm currently in first place for fantasy league, so I'm hoping for another win this season. I won season 8, did not win season 9, and I'm looking to win season 10 again. I'm very good at Love Island fantasy league, baby. Do not fuck with me. I've lost 50 points this season and I'm still in first place. So sincerely, don't fuck with me. Because how the fuck have I lost 50 points and I'm still in first? That's how you know I'm slaying. I'm eating it the fuck up this season. All right. That's the end of the episode. I'm going to go make myself a nice little sandwich and enjoy my afternoon. Thank you guys so much for watching. Love you so much. I'll see you next week. Bye.